You're not inadequate. You are perfectly capable. I mean, what is it about a parent that when their child turns 5, all of a sudden the parent's no longer a viable option? Like, oh, you're done. Now it's the school's turn.
I think the quality of education has steadily deteriorated in America. There is an agenda to steal our children.
You feel inadequate because you've been taught by our school system that you're inadequate.
We had no frame of reference for homeschooling other than it just seemed like torture. Like, why would a sane woman choose to be locked up with her kids for 18 years in a row when a school bus would come and take them away and give you like a 9-hour break every day?
No one knows your child better than you do, and no one loves your child more than you do.
And homeschooling changes the game on everything. Homeschooling allows us to say to the child, what sort of life do you want? What sort of God-given dreams, talents, and abilities is he speaking into you?
When we think about classroom education and we ask what makes for good education, almost every professional educator will say low student-teacher ratio, teachers who care, good methods, good curriculum. Well, in homeschooling, you get the best of all of those things.
What we discovered is that it's very efficient to homeschool.
You have the person who knows the student the best. You have the ability to customize the curriculum around the student. You have a great student-teacher ratio.
And I realized I am accomplishing with Sierra in 25 minutes to an hour every day what is taking the school system 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, to accomplish with my older daughter. I loved watching the light bulb come on and watching her want to sit down and read with me. And I loved spending time with her.
There's just so many benefits, including being able to have a relationship with your own children.
Continue doing what you're doing. Don't give up, because I do believe that homeschool moms are America's greatest heroes.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Homegrown Generation Family Expo, and welcome to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. We are actually doing this. This is actually a recording of the podcast, but we decided to do this one live because it was so important. We really wanted you guys to be part of it, and I could not be more excited to be with my co-host, Abby, and with our guest today, Rick Green. Rick, I welcome you, and I would love for you to introduce yourself to us.
Well, great to be with you. Thank you for what you guys do. I loved right on the end of that trailer. I was thinking about that even the value of homeschool moms in this whole COVID crisis thing has gone through the roof. People everywhere are realizing what an amazing job our homeschool moms across the country do. Because we homeschool dads have to admit, you guys do most of the work, without a doubt. And anyway, so I'm just thrilled to be with you and love what y'all are doing with Schoolhouse Rock. Rick Green, I'm founder of Patriot Academy. I used to be a state rep in Texas, and I've been with David Barton for, 2 decades now. I host his radio program, and my favorite thing to do is to bring history to life and teach on the Constitution, known as America's Constitution Coach, because we try to make it fun, like a sport almost, in that it can be exciting, and civic duty is not something to be afraid of. It's something to embrace. So looking forward to sharing some of that today.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I know I've shared this with you before, Rick, and those who have listened to the podcast, they know a little bit of our story about how Garrett and I said we'd never, ever homeschool. And then in 2010, so this was 10 years ago almost, we went to our very first homeschool convention. It was in Los Angeles. It was put on by CHEA. And you, Rick, were one of the keynote speakers. You were there and your son Reagan were together and you were speaking. And literally that weekend alone completely changed our view of homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And it really opened our eyes up to this incredible opportunity we have to be able to have our kids at home with us and be able to disciple their hearts and just pour into them. And so you are really, really instrumental in our decision to homeschool. Wow. So thank you for what you do.
That's cool. Thank you. I'm sure it was something Reagan said that weekend and not me. But anyway, yeah, he would have been about 7, I guess, 7 or 8. So he was probably teaching on the Declaration.
And, he was.
Anyway, it's really good. That's great to hear. I mean, that's what we love doing. And I think too many people think this is harder than it is. I don't want to, create a false image. I mean, it is tough to do this. You got to sacrifice. But man, the benefit, I was homeschooled for a lot of my education, and my mom used to get stopped by people all the time, and they would be like, what a sacrifice you're making to homeschool. And she, every time she would stop them and say, it's not a sacrifice, it's an investment. And it changes your mindset. And it's not just these days, man, it is, it's easier, but it's also just fun. I mean, there's so many tools available. You get to spend more time with your kids. You get to go anywhere you want. You get to take them in person to places. I just think we're so blessed to be able to live in America today. And the state laws have gotten so much better. I mean, just right down the line, it's a much easier thing for people to do. And there's just such good support around you with these state associations and everything that we have. So it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. We love it. And Abby, welcome. I love having you with me.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here. I'm super excited to be on this one. And totally pumped up, Rick. When I told my kids who we were talking to, they were through the moon. They were so excited.
Yeah. Well, you know, a couple years ago, Abby texted me and she said, have you watched this show on Amazon called Chasing American Legends? And I said, no. And she said, this guy named Rick Green and his family have hosted this show. And I said, I know Rick, you know, I know who Rick Green is, of course, but I've not heard of this show. And I don't know how I hadn't heard of it. But so we started watching it and we love that show. You need several more seasons.
Thanks. Well, unfortunately, the kids are all a little older now, so I don't know if I convince them to go travel around the country with us to investigate history's mysteries. But we had a lot of fun with that project. I mean, we got to see some cool stuff, march with Minutemen, you know, to Lexington and all those cool things. So thank y'all for watching. I'm glad y'all enjoyed it. And our hope is that for your kids, they can experience some of those things through the eyes of our kids. That was kind of the idea behind the show, is if every family can't go to these cool places and can't get, you know, we get to hang out with Brad Stein, so he actually makes it funny, you know, and fun to learn, that at least they could do it through the eyes of our children watching the show. So thank y'all for watching and for sharing it with folks.
Yeah. Oh, it's super fun. And we'll put links to that show in the podcast show notes. And it's just such a fun show to watch. You know, I want to talk today about the Constitution. We have been talking a whole lot about that in our family with all that's going on around us. And as we've been talking about it, we've been just praying through how the Lord can help us as a family to understand what our God-given rights and responsibilities are, and then really helping us to know how we can make a difference in the world around us, and really finding hope. And so as we've talked about it, you know, we said there's no one else that we would rather talk through the Constitution with than you, Rick, because you don't just talk about the Constitution, but you talk about it from a biblical worldview, which is what we're all about. You know, just show us Jesus, show us where Jesus is in all of this. And so I would love for you to just talk with us first about just hope for America. I think a lot of people right now are feeling hopeless. We're feeling discouraged. We're feeling just frustrated beyond belief. Yeah. So where is the hope for America right now?
Oh, wow. Big question. You know, I think first off, something you just said in terms of most people just simply talk about our rights, and you said our rights and our responsibilities. And I think that's such a great way to look at it, is too often in our American culture today, we just gimme, gimme, gimme. And, you know, we want things to be easy, all of those things. And we don't talk about what's on the other side of that. With every right, there's a responsibility. There's something that we need to be doing, a duty. That word duty is, we run from that today. It's like, oh, that means I have to do something. Whereas the founding fathers of America used that word over and over and over again, especially when talking about citizenship and our ability to live in freedom required some duties. And it's not huge, right? I mean, if you think about the founders' sacrifice to launch the nation, it was off the charts, right? I mean, they literally gave their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. Our sacrifice, or our investment, if we go back to what we said earlier, to preserve freedom and for our families to enjoy it, is really, really small. I mean, we don't have to do that much, but we do have to do a little bit. And if all of us will do a little bit, and what I mean by that is a little bit of our life, so taking a little bit of time to do exactly what you're doing today, to put some focus on what allows for us to be free to homeschool our kids, what allows for us to be able to go to church on Sunday morning or synagogue on Saturday or wherever we're going and worship as we choose. What is it that creates that kind of a society and allows for that to happen? It does not happen by accident. There really is a cause for that, a formula producing that. And just the fact that you're highlighting it says, hey, I want to know what the formula is. We want to be able to teach our kids to be responsible citizens and to want to do their responsibility, not just give me my rights. You know, and in this world we're in right now, where frankly we're all feeling a little bit frustrated and maybe like we want to go protest a few things that are happening, or a lot of things that are happening right now. It's a great time to say, wait, I want to check my heart from that biblical worldview perspective you were talking about. Am I having the right attitude here? And then secondly, make sure I've got good grounding. Am I standing on good ground in terms of what I want to protest and what I want to what I want to stand for. Because protesting and petitioning our government for a redress of grievance right there in the First Amendment is an important part of our American DNA. Just being able to stand up and say, I give consent or refuse consent, to quote from the Declaration. So this is exciting. I mean, the answer to your question, I'm sorry I got on a rabbit trail there, but the answer to your question in terms of the hope, I should say, since we're talking about the Constitution, our hope is not in the Constitution. Our hope is not in you know, the presidential election of 2020 going whichever way you're for. Our hope really remains what it always has been. Our hope is in Christ, and our joy comes not by, you know, what's happening around us, not by where we are, but whose we are. So we can look at the landscape of our society, our challenges as parents and raising our children, and how we can look at all of that and say, you know what, there's big challenges, but my hope is in Him. And I know that He already sees everything that's going to happen. COVID-19 was not a surprise to Him. A presidential election is never a surprise to Him. He sees it all. So we can have peace in that and have hope in that. And I think one of the great things that makes it peaceful for me is being able to look at history, step back and look in the context of thousands of years instead of just the last 10 or 12. It'll give you peace. You'll realize there's nothing new under the sun. You can see the patterns in history. You can see the principles of liberty when they're used. It produces prosperity and freedom and all those things we love. And when it's not, it leads to tyranny and darkness. And it's so obvious when you really look through history. And the reason I say there's hope in that is that there's nothing we're facing as a country or as a community that there isn't an answer for. And yes, it always comes back to the Bible. All the answers are right there in the Bible. And our nation used to look to the Bible for the answers. We used to say, we're setting up our government based on what the Bible says here and here and here. And then what would feel like a new issue, we'd go, wow, hadn't thought about that one. How do I address that? Well, we'd go to the Bible to find out how. We don't do that as a country anymore, as a society. But as Bible believers, we still can. And the great thing about that is we can find the truth and then take it to society and take it to our communities. And that, what a wonderful opportunity to be able to use those freedoms we're going to talk about today out of the Constitution to actually bring truth from God's word, to actually be a positive influence on our friends and neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So let's talk about those. Let's talk about our freedoms that we have. And you know, you see the bumper sticker and you see the signs that say freedom isn't free. And we all know that, you know, we come from a family of military, my dad, my father-in-law, my husband, both my brothers-in-law, my sister-in-law, all military. Wow. And so I really respect that. And I know that the freedom that we have is not free. And I know from the founding of our country, it wasn't free. I mean, it cost many, many, many people their lives and their families. And so how do we know what our freedoms are? How do we understand them? And then how do we fight to keep those?
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the military part of this. One of our episodes for Chasing American Legends, we went to Arlington Cemetery and we were standing on one of the hills and we looked out and there's just so many. I mean, and you realize all those sea of headstones, and you begin to realize every generation of Americans, there have been those willing to step forward and pay the ultimate price. Many of them paid a high price, but they came home and were able to live the rest of their life. And many paid the ultimate price. And you know, there was a great movie years ago, Saving Private Ryan, where at the end of that movie, you get this great scene where Captain Miller, Tom Hanks's character, who has been on a mission through the whole movie to go find Private Ryan to get him back home to his family because all his brothers are dead. And Tom Hanks is all of his guys on his team have been getting killed through this whole thing, all to save Private Ryan. And so at the end of the movie, he gets shot. He's about to die. He's now going to give his life for this kid, this 19-year-old kid. And he grabs Private Ryan and he pulls him in real close. And he says, with his last breath, he says, earn this. And that to me really encapsulated. It was like a wake-up call for me. It's like, wow, all those people in every generation and all of our brothers and sisters that are serving right now, they're paying an amazing price for our freedom. How do we earn it? How do we actually tell them thank you? You know, I've always taught my kids, go up and shake hands if somebody's in uniform and say thank you for your service. And so we do that. But that, it seems like there's so much more that we should be doing. And the so much more is actually living our lives in a way that honors what they did. Abraham Lincoln actually summed that up in his Gettysburg Address when he said, the way that you thank them and you make sure they didn't die in vain is you have a, quote, increased devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. So the increased devotion, well, the cause, first of all, is what we're talking about today, this constitutional republic, this freedom and this system of liberty we have. And so the increased devotion part is the citizen saying, I'm going to be more devoted to my responsibilities, not just my rights. And I'm going to be a part of the solution. I'm going to be a part of saving America. And so that's what we're doing, is we're saying, I'm going to honor all those who came before me by actually being involved and being active in my citizenship. So that's probably what you're really asking me is, okay, how do we do that? Like, how do we be better active citizens? Maybe, is that the question you're sure. actually asking? Sorry, I go on rabbit trails.
No. I love your rabbit trails.
I love your rabbit. I'm taking notes like crazy. And I like how you said, you know, we thank the men that have gone before us. But what is occurring to me is, in order to be thankful for what has happened, we have to know what has happened. And it is so important for our children to know and understand history. Because without knowing and understanding it, and like going back to what you said about that is where our hope is, I think for our children to have hope during a hard time like this, they need to see, like you said, this isn't God's first rodeo. Like, this isn't the first rodeo of dealing with hard things in our nation or even beyond our nation in our world. And so I want you to talk a little bit about just the importance of teaching our kids history and teaching them what has gone before them so that they can understand where we are and the hope that's found in that.
That's so good, Abby. And you're right. I mean, when you get in a tough situation like we are right now, I think tough times can reveal our own personal character, but it also reveals the character of the nation. Mm-hmm. And right now we're going through a really tough time in America. And I think it's revealed some real flaws and some cracks in our foundation from the standpoint of having too many politicians willing to grab power they were never given. And then the people ourselves actually praising them for that and begging them to do that instead of saying, how can I do my part better? And so the only way we fix those flaws and that crack in that foundation is exactly what you just said. We have to go back in time. My argument today is that the real pandemic in America is civic ignorance, that we don't know our history and we don't know our Constitution. And when I say ignorance, it's not an insult. I mean, I'm ignorant on many things, but my friend Top Gibbon, he says it well. He says, ignorance is curable. So when you look at all these polls that say 3/4 of Americans can't name the three branches of government, that they don't, you know, all these basic things about our system, instead of just being, oh, America's done for, we should say, okay, how do you solve that? Thomas Jefferson said the same thing. He said, when you see that happen, you don't say people can't handle their rights. You solve it by teaching them the Constitution and teaching them history. So you're spot on. And that's what we should do. And even when it comes to every time an issue happens, we should go, okay, wait a minute, has anything like this ever happened before? And you talk about sacrifices by previous generations. If you go back to 1918, that generation was fighting World War I and the Spanish flu at the same time. Mm-hmm. And the Spanish flu was 25 times more lethal than the COVID is. Wow. It was a 2.5% mortality rate. 675,000 Americans died in a nation of only 103 million. Compare that to today, we would have already lost about 2.5 million people. So, I mean, they fought this without ever shutting their economy down, without ever shutting down entire states. They literally had the courage to say, what does it take? Whether it was World War I, World War II, Spanish flu, you name it. And so somewhere along the way, I think it's just the nature of man. We kind of get spoiled to our freedom and things being easy. And so then all of a sudden a crisis hits and tough times come. And we haven't had that same training as young people that our grandparents' generation did. And part of that's just how society has become. So the answer to your question is, okay, then how do we do it? And we said this a little bit at the beginning, I think, you have to go back into history, and our children are not going to sit through a boring 3-hour lecture on, the Commerce Clause in the Constitution and how that's affected federal power, right? We have to make it fun. And the good thing is, history is fun. Now, I don't know, y'all may not want to admit this because this is your show, but I'll admit it. I hated history when I was in high school and college. Okay, I was not a lover of history. It was boring to me. Every teacher I ever had, including my own mom, no offense, mom, I love you. It was dates, names, places. You memorized it, you answered it right, and you were done. When somebody gave me a cassette tape of David Barton, now I'm showing my age, but it was a cassette tape of David Barton back in the 90s. And for the first time, I was hearing the stories of history through the eyes of the people that experienced it. And it brought it to life for me. And I finally had fun with it. I fell in love with it. And that took me on the trajectory of where we are now. So I would say to all the parents out there that are watching, make history fun. Find the stories. There's so many great tools out there. I mean, Dave Stott's stuff on Drive Through History is fun. Our Chasing American Legends program. There's a lot of shows like that that will actually bring that history to life and make it fun for your kids. And I always tell people, don't even tell the kids, hey, we're going to do history now. Say, hey, we found a new TV show we can watch that's really fun. And then pop in Chasing American Legends or Dave Stotts or whoever you found that's good at this stuff. And then let them have an entertaining education on history. And there's so many cool stories. If you've got daughters, they need to hear the stories of Dicey Langston and Sybil Ludington and all these, you know, young female heroes from the Revolutionary War. Your sons need to know about Nathan Hale and George Washington's battle at 23 years old and all these great stories that'll make them want to be like that and want to be patriots and want to be a person that actually fights for their freedom in some way, shape, or form. So anyway, that's the number one, is just make it fun. Don't go to the boring, and there's a lot of boring stuff out there. But man, we've got it's so easy now to get a hold of really good tools.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you talk about just making it fun and helping them to want to do something, because I think everybody has a kind of an innate desire to want to make a difference, to want to have some kind of impact. Even kids, you know, young kids, when moms come alongside them and say, hey, you know, you're such a good helper. I really, really appreciate how you put away those dishes or how you folded those towels. It wells up in not a sinful pride, but a sense of being and a sense of pride. And so I think when we do that with our kids, we're really doing them, you know, a favor by saying, hey, let's do this as a family. You know, one of the things I love about you and your family, Rick, is that you guys do your ministry as a family. It seems like everywhere I see you, it's never you alone, which I'm sure, you know, you do travel and do things by yourself, but typically you do things as a family, and that's how our family is. You know, Schoolhouse Rocked is not a ministry of Garrett Hampton or Yvette Hampton. It is our whole family. Literally, we do it together, and it's amazing because the Lord allows us to be stronger and as a family unit for it. And so in making an impact in our world, you know, whether it's going and you know, praying and protesting at an abortion clinic where you know, your kids get to be there with you and just pray over, you know, these parents, or if you're protesting some of the things that are going on today in our country, as a family,
right?
Be the, you know, do ministry together.
Even showing up for our homeschool day at the Capitol, right?
Yeah.
So in your particular state, going together, and I promise you, nothing's going to impress that legislator more than the kid, you know, when a 9-year-old says, "Nice to meet you, sir," and they're like, "Wow, what's going on here?" You know, and they can tell the difference. They're going, "Wow, these parents are doing something right." So, what a great way to civic duty, right? As a family, is find out when your homeschool day at the Capitol is, wherever you are across the country. Every state has one.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
And going back into history with that, teaching our kids, you know, like for us, our state history of homeschool or our national history of homeschool, or, you know, we weren't always free to do this. And
that's
so,
right.
You know, historically, who has fought for our homeschool freedoms even, and why can we do this now the way we do this? And so sparking that passion in our kids so that when they go to the state capitol, they're not like, wah, wah, we're just going because it's another thing to do, but that they're understanding what's behind it, why we are here. And where we came from to get us here.
That is so good, Abby. And that's so true in every state, right? Like, I mean, here in Texas, we have stories of these families that fought hard in the mid-80s. I mean, I didn't answer that when I was a kid. We didn't answer the door because it wasn't legal to be homeschooling. We were going to get in trouble for homeschooling, right? And so you tell those stories, but then you tell about the heroes that fought and went and worked that legislation through and got it done, so that your kid's going, wow, maybe someday I could do that on an issue. And you show them how we're starting to win abortion issues, and we're, you know, all these different places they can make a difference. I mean, I get to see that all the time. That's what my shirt, I'm backwards. So let's see. There it is. Okay. So that's what we do at Patriot Academy, right? These kids come to the Capitol and they actually live the life of a legislator, and they get to see that, wow, this is not some other world, right? That's what, I mean, when we start talking about Constitution, most people immediately think, oh, that's, you know, that's something somebody else is going to worry about. The lawyers are worried about it, the legislature, you know, Congress, whatever. That's not, I don't have to deal with that kind of stuff. And so what we try to do with Patriot Academy, with our Constitution programs, everything we do, we're trying to say, no, this is your world. This is, you can impact this thing. I was 16 or 17 the first time I saw the state capitol in Austin. I was actually playing baseball, and we were at the state tournament, and our coach took us over there to see the Capitol. And my thought was the exact same. I thought that's a different breed, man. Those are the folks from the right side of the tracks, you know, where that's another world right there. Only those uber rich or whatever. And We went in and we did the little tour and we went and saw the names on this house thing. I was like, wow, that'd be so cool to actually get to push that button on the house floor. And I thought, you know, not in my lifetime. And I told my dad that story when we got back, and he's like, no, this is America. This system belongs to you. You can be that person on the floor if that's what God's called you to, and you're willing to work hard for it. And 10 years later, I was 26 and I was on that floor pushing that button, actual rep. So I think we need to get people to realize this is your battle. This is your capital. When you take them for that homeschool, you don't walk up and say, this is where the legislators work. You say, this is your capital. You get to come here and influence what's happening around you and in your world.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I have realized more and more is, and I don't think it gets talked about enough, is that our government, they really work for us. And I would love for you to talk about that, because you really were on that other side of it. We don't work for them. You know, they work for us, and they're supposed to work in our best interest. Can you kind of explain that and talk about that from the perspective of having worked, you know, on the other side of that government line?
I try to always use the words public servant instead of elected official, because we tend to have this high and mighty kind of view or whatever. And then they tend to get that. It's one of the reasons you know, my family, we have this great debate going that's been going for years on term limits, because half the family's for them and half's against them. And I'm for them. I after serving, I just saw how easy your mind becomes, like, I'm special and everybody around you is yes men and all that stuff, even though you're also being attacked in the media and all that. But yeah, I mean, they just get this sense of entitlement, and you see it more in Washington than you do at the state level, but you do see it at the state and local level as well. And so I say public service because I want to remind them and remind us. They are public servants. They're literally there to serve us. And I think one of the dangers we have is when we think we have such a great system that, I don't have to worry about my freedom. Or we even think I have such a good representative or congressman or governor, I don't even have to worry. Not at all. I agree with Bob McEwen, former congressman from Ohio. He always says, I don't trust any politician any more than I can throw them over my shoulder left-handed. He added a few others in there. But anyway, the point is, no matter how good they are, they need us in the equation, holding them accountable, encouraging them when they do the right thing, letting them know when we disagree, but doing that, you know, obviously respectful. And I think one of the dangers is too often we stay out of the system for so long that when the system finally impacts us, we get mad and we respond in anger. Mm. What we need to be doing is paying attention all the time and letting them know when they do good, even if they're, you know, it may be a pro-abortion Democrat that represents you. But for some reason, they voted to protect your right to homeschool. You never know what's going to happen with a public servant on where they are. Well, you would still call or write them and say, thank you for protecting my right of homeschooling. Now, obviously, you're going to work against them in the election if they're pro-abortion. But at that moment, you thank them because having that relationship with them might lead to turning them on that issue or whatever it might be. All I'm saying is that tone that we have with holding the public servants accountable is really, really important. And having that mindset that those folks work for us and not the other way around will get us more engaged in campaigns. I want to tell all the homeschoolers out there, you can have more of an impact on elections than anybody else. When I won my first race in 1998, I actually lost on election night by 20 votes out of 30,000. We had a recount and I won by 36 votes. It was that close. And I was running against a really powerful incumbent. But my campaign was homeschool families. We had families with 6-7 kids out at every poll, you know, with the green shirts on and holding the green and knocking on doors. You guys can have such a great impact. So you don't have to just read about civics in a textbook. You can actually go live it by standing at the polls for a candidate or helping someone. So again, long answer to your question, but I think that mindset is real important. Public servants, they work for us. And don't forget what the Declaration says. I mean, this whole system starts with the idea. So if we're going to talk about Constitution, we got to talk about Declaration, because that's the foundation. John Quincy Adams said the Declaration is the foundation that the home of the Constitution was built upon. Mm-hmm. So without that, we don't really know what our philosophy of government is. The Constitution is more like a playbook or a rule book. The Declaration is the philosophy behind that. Here's why we think this. And one of the fundamental principles of the Declaration that sets up our entire system is that we set up a government with consent of the governed. And so that means the government can only do what we say it can do. And that's why representative government is important, and we should choose those leaders. But then we also have to make sure that they're abiding by the written Constitution that we, the people, put in place. Today, we're at least psychologically, we've kind of turned into a pure republic instead of a constitutional republic, meaning that we tend to pay attention in the elections. then whoever gets elected, we just assume they're either going to do good or bad and we can't do anything about it. Hmm. And that's more like a pure republic where you elect them and then you say, hey, you do whatever you think is best. It's all up to you. A constitutional republic says we're electing who we think is best. We want you to do what is best within the boundaries that the Constitution draws. But that idea of boundaries, or what we would call constitutionally jurisdictions or authority, that's what we've lost. And frankly, why we now allow government to run roughshod over our lives and tell us how to do everything. Parental rights is under attack in a big way in our country right now. We got a big case in Texas right now on parental rights that's going to be huge. And so the right to homeschool, to choose the education of that child, to choose the upbringing of that child, all of those things, that has to be protected constitutionally. But if we don't recognize that the boundaries we set up in our Constitution don't even allow the congressmen or the state legislators to touch that issue, if we don't understand that, if we don't recognize those boundaries, then we're going to say, well, if they think it's best, whatever the state thinks best, we're going to allow. So we got to have basic ideas. Number one, that they work for us, that our rights don't come from government. They come from God. That's so right. If our rights come from God and we put that government in place to protect those rights, mm-hmm. then we're putting that down in paper and we're giving certain jurisdictional lines to each level of government. We give certain jurisdiction to the family, to the church, to our state government, our local government, and to the federal government. And they're not supposed to get outside of those boundaries. But if we don't know the boundaries, then how do we know when to stand up and say, wait a minute, you're not supposed to do that? We're getting a lot of questions about boundaries right now when the president says total authority, or we're wondering who can do a lockdown. Is it the state or is it the local or is it the federal, or can they close your private business? Where do they get that authority? All these things that are happening right now. One of the good things is it's causing people to start to wonder for the first time, wait a minute, what's the Constitution say about this? I never thought about that. I mean, you know, so now people are really, really interested in those jurisdictions.
Yeah.
Right. And we are called to set up our kids. I mean, as parents, we are called to teach and train our children up. And so it is our responsibility as parents to teach and train our children these ways, so that as these things come, they just as with the Bible, we take them to the Bible for the answers of all things. And yeah. when it comes to American government, we need to be able to take them to, and we can't teach them if we don't know what it is. So it is,
right.
I mean, I am so passionate that parents need to teach their children history. They need to teach their children the Constitution, where we came from, how we got here. And it gives a peace. Right now, my family, we're doing American history, our second year. And as we're doing World War II, it's just strangely, people would think, oh, that would terrify your kids. And strangely, it's bringing our kids such a peace, because they've seen the hand of God through history, and they've seen it. They've seen the big picture, and that brings a peace and a comfort. And it's so important. And it terrifies me that more people aren't being taught this. It terrifies me that we have a generation that isn't being taught this. So, Rick, what are you doing to help us equip our kid? What, give us some resources.
Yeah, you bet.
We people are going to be fired up now. So we want to teach the Constitution. What do we do?
Yeah, you bet. I got to go one side. One thing you said that makes me think of a little bit of a rabbit trail, just real quick. And that's because not only do we want to teach them that sacrifice, and this is up to every parent, and every child's different in terms of maturity level and when they're ready for this, but also showing them the horrors of losing our freedoms. Right. And so movies like Schindler's List and other movies that show how evil tyranny can be, and how we can lose freedom and become tyrannical. Most people today don't realize Germany in the 1930s was very similar to America. I mean, very, very, I mean, they experienced a lot, most of the same freedoms they had culturally, the arts, all of those things. It can happen to any people. And so it's not radical to say it could happen here. It's foolish to say it could never happen here. So I do think sometimes telling those stories, maybe telling the story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer or whichever story you want to choose from that era, just to show our kids, you know, even my 17-year-old the other day, y'all know him as Rhett. He was only 12 or 13 in the show, but in Chasing American Legends. But, you know, he finally watched Schindler's List, and he, same thing. He was saying, Dad, man, I just, it brought it home. It made me realize how precious freedom is and how bad evil can be. And if you give absolute power to the government, what can happen and how bad that can become. So using those tools like you're talking about to make them realize that. And again, parental advisory, all that stuff with those different movies. But I think it's important to teach those things. I had my boys watching Band of Brothers, you know, a Holly good version where we got rid of the language, but I still had them watching Band of Brothers at a fairly early age. I mean, they were probably 13 when they watched Band of Brothers. And that's a pretty gory, not super gory. I mean, it doesn't glorify the gore at all. But man, you talk about making them want to be patriots and making them want to defend freedom and to go up and shake every hand of every soldier. Man, it really did. It seared that into their conscience. So there's right. some good tools for doing that.
If we don't know what we have to lose, then yeah. it doesn't put a fire under us to fight for it. And yeah. so our children need to know what we have to lose, you know.
And look at what's happening right now. People, I mean, how many people 4 weeks ago when you first time you went to the grocery store and there was no, you know, whatever you were trying to buy, whether it was toilet paper or whatever, but something at the grocery store that you literally were seeing shelves emptied.
Yeah.
That's the first taste of socialism most people in America have ever had to experience. We read about Cuba and Venezuela and all these places where that's a daily occurrence for them. And all of a sudden people were to have to sit in line at the grocery store and only six people could go in at once or whatever the experience, right? Now being told protesting is not an essential thing and you can't even use your right of petition the government, or churches being shut down, not even allowed to go in their cars. I mean, we could go down all the list of all the horrible things that are being done and silly things. Had a beautician, a sting operation on a beautician in Texas, no less, that was arrested for doing somebody's nails in her home. I mean, those kind of things should make you go, wait a minute. I mean, if you don't have George Orwell's 1984 as part of your homeschool curriculum, all this stuff that's happening right now should make you include that. But yeah, I think most people now are realizing, whoa, freedom is worth protecting.
Yeah.
So that brings us back to how do you do it and how do you make it fun? I again to plug Chasing American Legends. That starts with any kid. So I mean, even a 6 year old will enjoy watching a show like Chasing American Legends or Dave Stott's Drive Through History. I'm a big believer in finding ways to tell the stories in an entertaining way. This is not mine. I wanted to do a book like this, but a friend of mine, David Bowman, did this. So it's called What Would the Founders Think? And he's an artist, so his caricatures are really funny. And it's a time machine story where Benjamin Franklin and Washington, and I think it's Adams, they get in a time machine and go forward to our day. And they say, how in the world did y'all get to this point? And then he uses all kinds of fun stories. It's kind of written for really maybe sixth, seventh grade. But I recommend it as even a lap book to sit down and with your younger kids and read through it. So it's a fun way to start really thinking about how government should be set up to protect freedom. So that's not one we wrote. You can get it at patriotacademy.com or you can just get it at Amazon. It's an easy one to get. What would the founders think? So that's a fun one. And then we do one. I was going to grab one behind me here. This is a kind of a Ben-Hur style. I don't know if y'all remember Ben-Hur or not, but you know, that was the best-selling novel of the 1800s, written, by the way, by a former governor of Indiana, Lew Wallace, and his statue's in the Capitol. If you ever go to the U.S. Capitol, you can go see the statue of the guy that wrote Ben-Hur. But he did that story as a novel, first novel he ever wrote, which it's a phenomenal, phenomenal read. But it's fiction. It's factious, what we call faction, where it's true to the times and it tells the story of Christ accurately, but through the eyes of a character that never really existed. So that part's made up. So we try to do the same thing. And this is a book called The Patriot's Daughter. This is for all the, it's not just for ladies out there. I have 80-year-old men that come up and say, when is the sequel going to be ready? But it's written through the eyes of a 15-year-old girl in the Revolutionary War. And it's a novel and it's done in an entertaining way. A little bit of romance in there, a little bit of war, a little bit of, you know, father-son, you know, father-daughter interaction and conflict and different things. But it's a fun way to do that. So those are just, I mean, a smidgen of what's out there. There are tons of great materials. Anything that's going to tell history in an entertaining way and accurate, I must say that, because even in the Christian homeschooling world and Christian universities and Christian private schools, there's a lot of inaccurate stuff out there as well. If you run across resources that are trying to sell this narrative of America being a secular nation and founded on the idea of separating God from everything, run the other direction. They're not true. It's not accurate. You know, we've got the largest private collection in the world of founding fathers documents at Wall Builders. I mean, when you go into David Barton's library and you read the original letters and journals and resources and speeches and everything else, it just opens your eyes to realize, wow, we really were founded on biblical principles. How could we get away from that as a nation? So make sure that they're accurate, but entertaining as well. And then just find application in everyday life. Even when our property taxes would go up, we would have conversations with our 8, 9, and 10 year olds, you know, about, you know, should the government be punishing us for investing in our home and adding on the porch. They're now going to take more of our money because we added a porch onto the house. Let's talk about that philosophically. And we'd sit around, and we didn't use the word philosophically with them at eight, but you know what I'm saying. And we try to apply it to them, right? And same thing with jurisdictions. You can teach your kids about jurisdictions with their toys and with their room. And, you know, I started to say if you have two, but this is a homeschool program. So if you have 20 kids let one of the kids that doesn't sleep in room A go into room A and paint the room as they choose in some neon crazy color and see if all the kids that live in room A get the concept of jurisdiction and say, wait a minute, that's not your jurisdiction. You shouldn't have got to choose what color our room was going to be painted. But just look for ways real life to reflect how government works, but in your house, because that government's in play in your house right now. Yes, you kind of get to be a dictator as parent, but you know, you can find those examples as well. And that's how we try to teach through chasing in our books as well. That was a long answer. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm getting excited. So
don't apologize. This is what we have you here for.
This everybody's so excited. Everybody's writing all these down. I love the idea of using it in your home. Like when you talk about socialism and, you know, just you've heard it when everybody, you just divide all the kids' grades and everybody gets the same grade, no matter how hard anybody worked. I mean, I just really love those practical hands-on ideas to help the kids really see it play out at home and make it very real for them rather than just this abstract, like you said, when we grew up, it just wasn't fun. It didn't connect with us. But we have, as homeschool families, we get that privilege. We have that freedom too, to teach our kids history in a fun way, in a way that is meaningful to their life and can connect with them. So we're very blessed to have that freedom for sure.
Yeah. Let one of the kids mow the lawn and tell them you're going to pay them $20 and then split it among all five kids and say, you get four and they each get four. And while the other kids are sitting on the porch drinking lemonade and watching, and then pay out like that and say, this is how socialism works. Y'all like that?
That's brilliant.
I was gonna say one of the things we're doing now that's kind of fun is getting people to host their own Constitution classes. So instead of waiting on us to come do one in their town, we've set it up where they can get access for free right now of all of our materials. So they can take our Constitution classes for free. They can become a host, and we coach them through how to do a Zoom class and actually bring people in. And so that way they can invite people around the country. That's a little bit of the oldest. It's really about eighth grade and up that can use that Constitution class, and it makes sense to them. I mean, I've had kids as young as eight go through the class and enjoy it and have fun, because we do kind of keep it moving quickly. We teach in Independence Hall where the Constitution and the Declaration were done. So when you're in the room and you can say, well, Ben Franklin was sitting over here and he got up and he did this, or, you know, that kind of helps bring it to life. But in reality, it's really, you know, more of an eighth grade and up type deal. But anybody can do it. So even, I mean, any homeschool mom or dad can sign up as a Constitution host. And even if you just want to do it with your family, but heck, invite some friends and family and either to just join you in Zoom, or hopefully the country's going to start opening up and you can invite them over to your house as well. And that, because then you can learn together. I think that's a fun way to do it. Stop the video and say, well, now wait, how would that apply today? You know, if when we're teaching on the Second Amendment, say, why is it important? Why shouldn't we just count on the police to save us, even though they're 15 minutes away? You know, what should we be doing? And let them be thinking about, you know, put them in that situation and let them figure out for themselves. Wait a minute, it'd be a lot better if dad was trained, and if I was trained, if mom was trained, and we got attacked, that we would have the ability to defend ourselves. Now I scared all the families out there, but you know, we should all be prepared to defend ourselves. 1.2 million violent crimes a year in America. Sorry, didn't mean to get off on that tangent.
No, that's okay. So what is
Avella lives in California. She's like, what is a gun?
I'm in Georgia.
Oh, I thought you were. So y'all moved.
We're from California. We're in Georgia now.
So, yeah. Oh, you're so, a good gun-toting mama then.
Yeah, we're good here. no, we are no longer in California. So tell me again really quickly about that Constitution class, and how do people find out about that? Where would they go?
ConstitutionCoach.com. Real easy website, ConstitutionCoach.com. And we're, because of everybody being locked up at home, we're making it for free right now. Normally it's like a $97 for a 1-year license to get all the materials and host it, but it's totally free. If you sign up right now, you get to get a license, and it gives you access to all our Constitution classes. We got different versions. Some do 6 weeks, some do 10 weeks. But we actually, the fun thing about the Constitution class is we take you into Independence Hall, we teach there, but we also go into David Barton's library, and he pulls all kinds of cool original documents off the shelf. And then we sometimes do live classes online. We're actually going to do a crash course in May, where every Monday, Wednesday, Friday in May, every afternoon, We're getting together with hundreds of families across the country, and we're going to live stream Chasing American Legends. So they'll get to watch the show y'all were talking about earlier. Each afternoon, we'll start with one of those episodes. And then whoever was on the show, we're going to have live on the webinar. So Dr. Alveda King, when we do our episode about MLK, his niece, Dr. Alveda King, will be with us. When we go into the vault at Wall Builders, David Barton will be with us. You guys know Brad Stein. Y'all ought to have Brad on sometime.
Yes, we will.
Just for you. He'd love to come do that with y'all. But anyway, he'll be on. So we'll be doing that in May. That's a fun way to do it. But even throughout the year, we'll do live classes that people can be a part of. But I just want to, we want to empower people to do this on their own, like not have to depend on us or anybody to come in. I mean, that's one of the great things about homeschooling is you learn to do this stuff ourselves. And so we're trying to do that is just get as many tools in their hands as we can. So constitutioncoach.com is the website to be a host.
That is so amazing. And I'm excited about that because like I said early on, I feel like I know so little about the Constitution and even about history. We're actually also doing American history this year. And it's been so exciting to read through this with my girls because I know I studied this in school, but I honestly, well, I hated school growing up with a passion.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would learn to the test and that was it. I mean, after that test was done and over with, I just forgot it purposely, I think. I don't want to remember any of this. And so I'm learning along with my girls, and it's been so exciting for me because I'm regaining my whole education.
Yeah.
And so it's
isn't that the cool part about homeschooling is we all get to learn too. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be. That's what I always tell our Constitution hosts. I'm like, you don't have to be an expert. You can get up. I get up in the middle in my classes when I teach. First thing I say is, I'm not some guru. I'm a citizen learning just like you, and we're going to learn together. And so as homeschool parents, we get to do that all the time. And you got to have the expectations right with your kids where they don't think you don't set them up to think that we know everything. And that way it's easy to say, you know what? I don't know either. Let's go look that up. And it makes it so much more fun. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that is.
And it teaches them that we can always learn, you know, we're always learning, that we're always growing. It's not a 12-year a 12-year plan that then we get out and know everything. So, I mean, that's what I want my kids is I don't care how old I get. I'm learning. I'm growing. I can always learn more. So that's another fun way to, you know, fun reason to learn with them. In hearing all of this and teaching our kids the Constitution and teaching our kids our history and where we came from and how we got here and our rights and our responsibilities, I go back to that Franklin Graham that Billy Graham quote, that when a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. And I love that because that's why we want to teach our children truth. That is why we want to teach our children history and where we came from and where, you know, where God has us and that he has us in a place. Because, you know, some people say, why? I mean, that's always my question. Why do I need to teach them this? And it isn't just for us and it isn't just for, you know, my family, but it allows my children to know enough to be brave to take a stand, because when they do, they're a light, you know, as the Bible tells us, they're a light. And as Billy Graham said, you know, then often the spines of other men are stiffened. So it is a bigger picture to teach and train our children in all of this. It's for the bigger picture, for, you know, for God's bigger picture and for our nation.
I love that. It's a purpose much larger than ourselves, right? Absolutely. And our own family. And that quote is fantastic. And it's so true. I mean, we see it all the time. When one person stands up, others will rally. I mean, you raise the banner and others will rally. And so teaching your kids that those are heroes so that they want to be that hero, that they want to have the courage to be able to do those things. And you do that by just telling those stories, finding those courageous stories. We did a book a few years ago called Legends of Liberty. And we found, I think it was 12 stories. It might've been 15 stories of people like that, you know, and I was mentioning young girls like Dicey Langston and Sybil Ludington and finding those stories, even Jackie Robinson in baseball as the first Black to break the color code and color barrier and the things he went through. And nobody talks about his faith. It was his faith that got him through that. But you mentioned being light, and that's what all of this is. See, when the Bible was the greatest influence on the country, we saw a practical application of salt and light. And so if you think about salt, it's literally bringing out the flavor of the meat and preserving it. That's the two purposes, right? And so as Christians, when we apply the Bible to our culture and our society, it ends up bringing out the best flavor. It ends up producing the best society possible and preserving that society for future generations. But when we're afraid to speak truth out of the Bible, when we're afraid to stand up for what's right, because we're going to get shouted down or called names on Facebook or whatever it might be, we're literally shuttering that light. We're literally preventing the meat from being preserved. And that's why you see decay in the culture, I think, because Christians checked out. We bought the lie that said government, politics, that's a different world. And as a Christian, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to just submit to whatever whoever's in authority says. And that's a warped view of Romans 13. It's not an accurate view of, certainly not the founder's view of Romans 13 or most theologians even, that we should be involved and that we have a responsibility. You know, Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. And in America, who's Caesar? It's not the president.
No, we the people.
It's these two ladies I see on the screen right now, right? You're Caesar. I'm Caesar. Mm-hmm. So how do we do that? Well, we render unto Caesar what is Caesar's by doing our job as citizens, by accepting the responsibility that Yvette said from the very beginning that comes with those rights and actually living it out. And it's not that hard. And even learning about the Constitution, you know, we got this kind of view of the Constitution as it's complicated just because it's written in that kind of old English and it's in cursive and all that. We think this is too hard to understand when it's actually a super practical, simple document. You can read through it in 15 minutes. And when you take our classes, we walk through, we don't go through everything in the Constitution, but we pick out those things that are most under attack today and that are frankly the easiest for us to influence as citizens. And there are so many areas that we can have a great influence. One of the guys that actually wrote the Federalist Papers. So he's one of our 55 framers of the Constitution and also one of the three that gave us the Federalist Papers. And I mentioned the Federalist Papers because it's kind of the instruction manual to the Constitution. Anything you're wondering, what did this really mean? Not just what does it say, but what did it mean? You go to the Federalist Papers and the writings of the founders, and you can figure that out. But anyway, John Jay was one of those guys, and he was our first Chief Justice. And he said something that I hope parents out there will hear, because this fits for every one of us. He said, every member of the state, simply meaning every citizen, so not just the preachers and teachers, but all of us, right? Every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution. By knowing our rights, we will better perceive when they've been violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. And actually he says in the middle of that, and teach the rising generation to be free. So that sure applies to us, right? So we've got these kids in our home. They're the rising generation. We need to know our rights so that we can perceive when they're violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. But we got to teach the rising generation these rights as well, so that they'll embrace the responsibility of preserving that freedom. They'll actually get excited about it. We see it happen all the time at Patriot Academy. Kids will come in. We don't do real young. We do 16 to 25 years old, but they'll come in at 16 years old, never having done anything like this, scared to death. We always get great videos afterwards of them saying, I didn't know if I could do this or not, but I'm so glad I did. But they're scared to death. They come in. And all of a sudden we're giving them the fire hose and we're putting them on the house floor and they're getting to experience this and they're learning a lot. And after 2 or 3 years of coming to Patriot Academy, then they're running the show. Now they're the ones teaching the next group of young people coming in. And the reason that works is because they get to see firsthand, oh, that's what freedom of speech is real. This is where it applies. Oh, that's why it's so important for me to have the ability to assemble with the people that I want to assemble with, but not be forced to do things that I don't want, or the right of conscience. Wow. You know, I don't want to have my way of thinking, but anyway, that stuff starts. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be 50 years old to figure that out. A 16-year-old, it makes sense to them when they can finally apply it to their life. So I'm telling y'all, there is a fire right now spreading across the country. And it's not just in us and our age group. It's these kids, these young people. And I hate to keep saying kids because they are. I mean, this next generation, they get it. They're getting excited about it. And that excites me. I mean, to see that fire being lit in them and see them wanting to be a part of the solution. That gives me hope. You talked about hope earlier, Yvette. That gives me hope seeing it in them.
Yeah, that's so exciting. Talk a little bit more about Patriot Academy and what you guys do with that.
Sure. Yeah, so our idea on that, I was in the legislature when we came up with this idea, my dad, my wife and I, and it all comes around the idea of putting a student, a citizen, at that point when they're kind of cementing their core belief system. So when you get to be 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, it's no longer what mom and dad believed or why they think the Bible is true or anything. You got to start saying, I believe this. Because, and be able to back that up. So we wanted to get them at that critical age where they're cementing that worldview and put them in the hot seat, put them in the position of being a legislator, let them see the Capitol for themselves, sit in the real chair, be on the real microphones, And then at the same time, through interaction with other young people, not just the old guy like me standing up and telling them and lecturing to them, but them being in the process, a much more kind of Socratic method where they're actually learning it by debating it and discussing those things. And not only then to use that to get them grounded as a good citizen, but then give them the edge, teach them the speaking skills and the rapport skills. How do you work a room? How do you do all these things that'll make you successful in business or politics or education or whatever you're going to do? So they learn the process and the philosophy of freedom, and then they learn the skills to be able to go lead in whatever area. Most kids that come through Patriot Academy don't go into politics. A lot of them do. I mean, we have legislators now elected that came through Patriot Academy, chiefs of staff, hundreds of people working in government that are our graduates. But most of them go into entertainment. They're making movies or writing books, or they go into business or whatever else it might be. So it's in summary, it's a training. It's a leadership training program that makes good citizens, that teaches and inspires liberty in them, so that from now on, they're going to vote in every election. They're going to study candidates. They may run for office, but they're definitely going to be involved in the process. PatriotAcademy.com is the website. Awesome. And I said wrong. I said Constitution Coach earlier. It's actually PatriotAcademy.com is where we're doing that May, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, May, in May. There's going to be 12 classes because there's 12 episodes of Chasing American Legends.
Okay. Well, so you have two things going on. You've got the home crash course, schooling from home crash course, and then you also have the Constitution classes that families
do. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Okay. Yes. So one is for everybody, right? Okay. Anybody can be a Constitution host. Go to constitutioncoach.com and you can do that at any time, throughout the year. The other is the literally crash course in history and government, and it's just for 4 weeks. It's every Monday, Wednesday, Friday in May. We're going to do Chasing American Legends, and we're also going to do Constitution Alive, but we'll all be on there to talk about it as well. And that one, if you're part of a state association, it's free. So if you're already paying dues to some, whatever state you're in, then you get to do that one for free. If you're not part of association, we want you to join those associations. And if you just don't have one, it's only $40 for all 12 lessons.
Awesome. Will you just go over real quick, sorry, as we're trying to tell the ages of each of those things again, because I know everybody's signing up right now. So point the ages. What ages are for each thing, the crash course and the Constitution Coach?
So the crash course for all those people schooling from home, is for all ages. So that's for everybody. Okay. And what typically will happen on those afternoons is the first 45 minutes, the little ones will stick around because we'll do Chasing American Legends, and then we'll be there laughing about it and talking about it. And then they'll probably not want to pay attention whenever I jump on to do Constitution class for the remaining 45 minutes. So that one's the last half of each day is really probably sixth grade and up. But everybody can do schooling from home, the crash course. And then the Constitution class is about middle school and up. And that one can be done on your own time. You can be trained on that in a day. If you want to start a class later this week, you can do it.
Perfect.
So very exciting. And someone's asking if you offer family discounts.
Once you're a Constitution coach, the whole family can take it.
I think they're asking about Patriot Academy
specifically. Yeah, I don't remember what it is, but I know we do that. And also discounts for when they do multiple academies, because we do regionals around the country, and then we do our big national one. As a believer in liberty, I believe you have to come to the Mecca of freedom, which is Texas. Sorry, Abby, I know we said off air that Idaho was doing even better, but now people are listening, so I have to defend Texas. We do our National Academy in Texas in August. That one's still going to happen this year in person. But our regional academies, we had to make the decision to go virtual. So those are going to be virtual academies. So any student 16 to 25 anywhere in the country can join us in June for those virtual academies, which means they're going to be online. All the students are still going to be dressed up like they're in the real legislature. And we're going to have Ben Shapiro and all kinds of cool speakers coming in to talk to them. And you don't have to travel. So a lot of kids that couldn't come to Patriot Academy the last few years because of time and travel and all that, at least one of the blessings, I always try to look at the bright side of the COVID crackdowns. One of the blessings is we're going virtual. And so any student can do Patriot Academy this year.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
So very exciting. I want to ask you one last thing. Do you have a favorite scripture that you like to focus on, that you like to share with people?
Yeah, I think, we were talking about representative government earlier and the importance of public servants. So I always come back to Exodus 18:21. And I think what people forget is that being a republic is not an American new idea. We have the first constitutional republic all the way back in Exodus. And they said, choose out from among you leaders of tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to choose. And that's basically local, county, state, and federal government. And then we're supposed to choose. This is a great guideline for how you choose good leaders. In fact, usually in presidential elections, I'll rate all the different candidates on these four categories. It says choose able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. And yes, I think able men means generic mankind and can include women today. I think absolutely should include women. Some of the better candidates today are women. Women are having, just like Deborah, having to step up and where men didn't lead. But anyway, able men means they got to be able to do the job. They got to be capable. Can you not only win the election, but be effective at the job when you get there? Are they honest? Do they tell the truth, even when it hurts them, right? Could hurt your reelection to say, hey, I messed up over here, or hey, this is what I believe. I'm going to do it even if the polling says it's a 70-30 issue. And do they hate covetousness? Do they hate bribes? Are they willing to go say, I'm going to do the job and then come home? I'm not going there for all of the perks. And most importantly, do they fear God? Do they have a biblical worldview? And there are no perfect candidates. I've yet to find one I agree with 100% of the time, unless my wife runs, and then she's right, whether she's right or wrong. So I agree with her 100% of the time. But anyway, there's no perfect candidates. I would have never in a million years thought that Donald Trump was going to do all the things he's done for religious liberty and freedom and homeschooling and all the things he's done. So you never know, but you do the best you can with what you got, where you are. You measure the candidates, and then you vote for the best one out of the field. And then if you don't have good candidates the next time around, you run yourself for office and be the one on the ballot.
I love it. And that's Exodus.
And pray.
Amen. And please don't anybody out there think that we're saying politics is the answer and going to solve everything. John Hancock said, I urge you by all that is dear, by all that is honorable, by all that is sacred, not only to pray, but to act, which means we got to do both. We got absolutely. And we should be praying right now for all of our governors, our local leaders, our president, that the counselors around them will have wisdom, that they'll know who to listen to because they're getting differing, you know, and that it's not just like with COVID that happens. With every issue, it's like that. They have a cacophony of, you know, voices coming from every direction. Pray for wisdom for those leaders, that they'll return to biblical wisdom, not just knowledge, but biblical wisdom. And that's the difference. When you have the biblical perspective, you can take the knowledge and actually make wise decisions with it. When you don't have the Bible, all this knowledge put you in the situation we're in right now, shutting down the whole economy over the, anyway, don't get them started.
We won't. What was that reference again? It was Exodus what?
Exodus 18, 21.
18.
It's, I guess, 20 and 21.
Okay. 20 and 21. Okay. I just posted that on there. So you were just talking about praying. I would love to end this discussion with asking you, Rick, if you would just pray for... Sure. As homeschool families, pray for our nation. And then we will open it up for Q&A. If anyone has any questions, we would love to stand.
Love to. Absolutely. Father, we just come before you right now and we just thank you for freedom. Thank you that we get to live in a country where we can even come on this podcast right now and speak freely, Lord, that we can call your name on this podcast, Lord, that we have the freedom, Father, to believe as we choose. We have those rights of conscience. And I thank you so much for the rights as parents to raise our children as we choose. What a blessing we have in America to make those decisions, Lord, that you've given us not just the freedom to do it, but the ability. You've given us so many things, so many tools at our fingertips. And so, God, I just pray for everybody that's listening to this podcast, that is homeschooling right now and sometimes trying to figure out what's the right way to do this, that you just give them wisdom, that you'd continue to let Abby and Yvette and others breathe into their life and give them the tools that they need to be successful at it. And Father, I just pray for our country. Lord, I lift up our president, all of his advisors. I pray for our Congress. Lord, we pray for Speaker Pelosi and for Leader McConnell. We pray for every governor across the country and for all of their advisors as well. And I just pray for wisdom. God, I just pray that you'd help us to make the right decisions as individuals, Father, that we would be wise in how we deal with these circumstances. And then, Lord, that as a nation, we would once again turn to your word, Father. I pray that, you know, with National Day of Prayer this year, as it's been so many of those events across the country have been canceled. We're going to miss that opportunity to come together in communities and call on your name and return to those principles. I pray we'll do that in our homes and that this will still be a year of renewal. God, that you'll just use this whole crisis to wake people up to what's important, that this time at home will hopefully be a time where we can get back in your word and spend time in your word as a family. Just let it, as only you can do, Lord, turn this difficult situation into a renewal in our country, and let the rest of this year in 2020 be a year that we return to basic principles of truth, and it starts with your word. Thank you so much for making it possible for us to even study in the way that we get to today with all the tools at our fingertips. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. That was amazing.
You bet.
I am so grateful for you and your ministry. You guys, if you have questions, you can post them. We'll take a few minutes to do some Q&A with Rick. Really quickly, I know someone had posted back if we would list the resources that you were talking about. So I know you held up a couple of books. So,
and I can send you links too if you want to post those later. I'll show you real quick. So don't forget the crash course. That's the fun one we're going to do in May, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
And what's the website for that again?
PatriotAcademy.com. If you go there, you'll see that yellow. If you don't get that, that's from the old Crash Dummy commercials. That's where we got that idea, if anybody ever watched those. Anyway, PatriotAcademy.com. Patriot's Daughter, that's a fun read. It's a really good novel. But it'll teach you good character traits and principle traits and definitely make you appreciate freedom. So it's a good way to introduce history and get your kid interested in the Revolutionary War and in American history.
What's a good age group for that?
It's really like 12, 13 and up. So and the target, of course, when Cameron wrote it was teenage girls. That was her main target. But then as I began to co-author with her and started writing some of the battle scenes and that kind of stuff, it kind of became fun for us guys too. And so I said it earlier and I wasn't kidding. I mean, we do all these speaking events at groups sometimes on an annual basis. And so we'll go back and for the last year, they've all been, when's the sequel going to be? I mean, literally 80-year-old men. When's the sequel?
And I didn't realize Cameron had written that. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's a fun read.
Kamryn, right?
Yeah, Kamryn.
Okay.
Yep. All right. And then What Would the Founders Think? That's David Bowman. He's a great guy out in Arizona that wrote that one. And this one's really middle school and up, but can be used for younger kids if you read it with them. And that caricature on the front, it's that kind of stuff all the way through it. So it's good, solid principles of liberty and the proper role of government taught in a fun way through that time machine story.
Okay, great. And you said that was by David Bowman?
David Bowman, yeah.
Got it.
Oh, I didn't tell you about the Founders Bible. I think y'all probably already have it, but this is a great way to do history and the Bible, right? So you get the biblical worldview, but then as you're reading whatever verse it is, all of a sudden then there's an insert of a story that says, here's how John Adams quoted this verse and used this for this principle. So it's a really fun way to read God's word and apply it. That one's a Wall Builders product. So wallbuilders.com, so cool. Or you can just look up Founders Bible online. I mentioned that it was 15 stories. So that's Legends of Liberty. That's the 15 stories. Dicey Langston, Jackie Robinson, Mo Berg. He was the spy, the catcher, the major league catcher that was a spy. He actually took the pictures that Jimmy Doolittle used for his raid in World War II of Japan. Anyway, so cool stories.
Who wrote that one? Was that by you?
This one, it's a bunch of different authors. So David Barton, Cliff Graham, Rick Green, Gary Newell, Brad Stein, Chris Dunham, Cameron Green writes she does Sybil Ludington in there. Alexandra Murphy does Dicey Langston. My son Trey does Moberg. So let's see. I should read my own press. 15 legends, 12 voices, one purpose. We want to live like legends. Learn from legends, live like legends.
So cool. And they can find that on PatriotAcademy.com.
Yeah, that one's Patriot. And some of those stories are faction, the kind of Ben-Hur style, and then some are biographical. So it's a mix. They're all only like, 8 or 10, 12 pages each.
Okay, awesome. So
and then cool. American Legends. That's the one we already talked about, but that's a fun way to learn too.
Yeah, and that you can find on.
I'm sorry, I get excited about these tools, and then I sound like
that's why you're here. We love
There's more.
What you're putting out.
And we're all about infomercials here.
My 5-year-old loved that show.
Oh, and, thank you.
You know, after that, we had they did their own like Revolutionary War reenactment in the backyard.
I love it.
So it's so fun because it wasn't.
Did you play Washington? Did they get to shoot you with paintball guns?
I was making dinner, watching them out the window. But that's what was so neat is it spurred, like you said, it got them excited about history and it brought it to life for them. So I highly recommend everybody go find that.
Yes. Yeah.
We learned so much about people we did. And the other thing, we gained a respect for the Park Service people and the museum director, all those people that are the keepers of the key, we call them in the show. They literally preserve that history for us. And that is the last piece of advice I'll give until questions anyway, that parents vacation with a purpose. Like pick your spots and go, okay, yeah, we're going to do what the kids might perceive as really fun to go to this amusement park or whatever. But while we're here, we're going to go to this battlefield or we're going to go to this museum or whatever it might be. And if you want to try to keep it from being boring, you can use Chasing American Legends like if you're going to go to, say you're going to go to the reenactment in Boston and watch the shot heard around the world and that whole thing, well, watch the episode ahead of time. And that way, when the kids get there and they see it, they're like, oh yeah, that's where this happened. Or Pastor Clark did this, or his, you know, whatever it might be. So there's ways to make it fun and not just go to a boring battlefield. Watch one of these episodes or other yeah. tools out there before you go. But vacation with a purpose, that's such a great way for your kids to remember, because they can read it all day, but if they go there and they stand on that soil, they'll never forget.
Yeah, that is so, so cool. Instead of giving our money to Disney, who is, you know, insistent on opposing everything that God's word
right.
stands for, let's do something with a purpose. Exactly. I love that Amen. So much. I'm going to get some letters from that.
That's okay. Truth gets letters.
The truth hurts sometimes.
If I don't get at least one piece of hate mail from each interview, I know I didn't do my job. I just know I didn't.
Oh, goodness. Okay, a couple more questions. So we listed resources, family discounts. Someone's asking, and I think this is about the crash course. They don't see an option for Missouri.
If your association is not on there, if you would email your association and ask them to become a part of it, then we'll get them signed up. And if they're not, or we just couldn't find their people or whatever it is, then there is the option to just pay for it. But we would love to get Missouri on there. I don't remember. I'll have to ask Kay why we don't have them on there, but we'd love to get them. So yeah, if yours isn't listed, please email them and email us and say, hey, this is my association. Can you try to get them involved? And some associations don't even have dues there. So it's a little bit different. And so for mm-hmm. them, you know, we are actually giving them a coupon code so that we give them part of the revenue, even though they didn't have dues, we, you know, kick that back to them so that they're making something on this.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. And that's
some people don't realize how much that association is responsible for their freedom to be able mm-hmm. to homeschool and what great tools they have. All these yeah. people that have been thrown into this are like, what do I do? Well, these state associations yep. is people that have been educating at home for decades. And they're saying, we're here to help. We know how to do this. And we know how to coach mm-hmm. you on this. So get involved in one.
Yes, for sure. We talk a lot about state homeschool organizations on this show because, you know, like I said, yeah. Abby is on the board of directors for Homeschool Idaho, and we work very closely with the Alliance, and the Alliance is the group of state organizations kind of all together. And then there's Texas, who is a state organization of their own, because you guys are like your own country.
yes, we are.
I mean, it's just absolutely incredible to see what these state organizations are doing. And so for sure, especially because pretty much I think until now, all of the conventions have, of course, been canceled. And yeah. that's really the bread and butter of those organizations who really do work to fight for the rights of each right. state to keep our homeschooling freedoms. And so they are so very important.
Hey, Yvette, if I could do an infomercial for them real quick. Next year, when the conventions come back, go to the convention, folks. Even if every piece of curriculum you could have bought it online and not saved or saved or whatever, just the camaraderie, I'm telling you, the experience mm-hmm. of being there for a couple of days with yep. like-minded folks that are in the same boat you are, from all over your state. I mean, I get chills right now even thinking about it, because it sends you home with hope. You go, wow, I'm not the only one. Yep. You get to have great conversations with people. It'll just encourage you. I'm telling you, go to those conventions. They're a blessing. Amen. They really are.
Yeah. Well, I said at the very beginning of this interview that you were the keynote at the California State Homeschool Convention that Garrett and I went to 10 years ago almost. And that was what turned the tide for us. I mean, that really was, it was literally 2 days of just learning and having our eyes open and going, okay, wow, this is so different than what we thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And that was all put on by CHEA, which is the, Christian Home Educators Association of California. And they're fantastic.
I was afraid you were going to say it was a great convention and you were there. And in spite of what you said, right. you decided to go ahead and end.
In spite of that. someone's asking also, what about HSLDA? Are there, are they part of, if someone's a member, I think they're asking if they're a member of HSLDA, is there a discount or can
it's
you
funny you ask that, because we just had a staff meeting right before I got on with you guys, and that was one of our questions, and I said, oh my gosh, I forgot, we got to get HSLDA. So they were reaching out to them this afternoon, literally. Okay. And Mike Ferris is a good friend of mine. I can't believe I forgot to do, of course, he doesn't do much with them anymore now that he's doing ADF, but yeah, we love HSLDA, and we will try to get that done for you in time before Monday. So hopefully, if you would email them, they're so big, they may not get, but we're hoping yeah. that they'll do it as well, because we're dues paying members to them too. And, and we want to honor that for sure.
Okay. Awesome. So keep looking.
If
you don't see your state organization on there to sign up yet for the crash course on Patriot Academy, keep going on and looking over the next few days and see if your state organization or HSLDA.
You can click on the email for if you'll email support@patriotacademy.com, we'll Kate Orr is probably the one that'll email you on that or talk to you on that. But or you can just email k@patriotacademy.com. Sorry, Kay, we're going to fill your inbox.
Hi, Kay. that's awesome. Well, we'll keep looking at that. And, you know, let me just give that push too. It costs a lot of money to put on things like this. I think people tend to think, well, it's all online and it's just a video. It doesn't cost anything at all. Right. That is not the truth. It actually, there is a lot of cost and a lot of time. I mean, countless hours that go into putting on an event like this. And so, you know, if you don't see your state organization on there or HSLDA, or even if you do, consider paying the $40 for this course, because it's definitely worth it. I mean, that's a great price for it. And I would say just bless Patriot Academy and their ministry and what they're doing, and support them, because they are out, just like state organizations, supporting you and helping to keep the freedoms that we have as homeschoolers and training. I mean, it's so amazing, Rick, what you're doing. You are literally helping to train up the next generation, and you've been training up the past couple of generations of young people.
Oh, that makes me feel old.
We determined at the beginning of this that you're only 4 years older than me. So I'm not old, therefore you're not old. And, you know, Abby's just a couple years behind me. So we're all good.
you are right, though, Yvette. And I was going to say, you know, don't forget that these associations, I mean, Patriot, we're all in the same boat, right? Yeah. Everybody that gets revenue from public speaking and events and all that kind of stuff, none of that. I mean, you're talking significant hits. And a lot of those homeschool speakers and trainers, I mean, that don't have an association that they're part of that helps to get them through this, man, they're hurting right now. And so if you have a favorite homeschool speaker that you hear every year, you know, jump on their website and make a small donation and just say, hey, we love you. And we know this is a tough time and a tough year for you. And part of the reason we're doing everything for free right now is because we know everybody's kind of in that boat, right? Because, I mean, you don't know, a lot of our homeschool parents right now, they don't know what kind of job they're going to have at the end of this. And they don't know what the finances are going to look like. And so we get that. And we're kind of all in this thing together for sure. I was just thinking, too, as you were describing that, one of the questions we've been getting, I don't know if anybody's asked this, is if you miss a day, can you watch a recording? Okay. And the answer is yes. We're going to record each session and leave those recordings available. You'll get an email the next day with a link. Oh, cool. And so throughout May, you'll have access to all of those episodes.
Perfect.
That is awesome. So, and thank you, Lisa. You are so sweet. I love your sweet comment. You said, thanks for having these videos as resources for us, Homegrown Generation Expo and Schoolhouse Rocked. You guys are awesome. Well, we are awesome by God's grace. It is not us, trust me.
God, we're really not good. That awesome. We're really, we serve a really, really awesome God.
That is exactly right. We serve a big God who's
we're pretty
doing
normal
big
people.
Things. If they could only see the pile of laundry sitting right next to me in my studio and Abby's pile of laundry behind her, but we'll just pretend like those aren't there. Rick, you are an incredible blessing, an incredible encouragement, and thank you for the resources that you have offered. We are so grateful for you and your ministry and for your family. You know, tell your family too. They have had a huge impact on our family, on Abby's family, and I know on many other. One day I want to meet Kara because
she's the brains of the operation. I'm telling you now. She's not just the best looking in the whole crew. She's also the brains of the group too. No, she holds our whole family together for sure. And that's why, you know, when I said earlier, the respect for homeschool moms has gone through the roof since everybody else has been thrust in that situation. You know, I see it every day with her, and I know it's the same in y'all's house and all the homeschool families listening right now. If there's any kids listening too, be thankful. Be thankful for those parents, because you don't realize how blessed you are to be homeschooled. And the older you get, the more you're going to recognize, wow, I'm so glad my parents were willing to invest in me in that way.
Yeah. And that's coming from a former homeschooler.
That's right. Yes.
And I like to circle back with that is, you said, and I wrote this down, this is not a sacrifice. This is an investment.
That's right.
And I think that's so important for us as families to know, because sometimes it feels, you know, that's beautiful. So thank you for that encouragement.
Well, yes. Thank my mama. She's the one that came up with that one.
That's a beautiful one. And one last question. I think Garrett's asking this. Is the hotel done, Rick?
Oh, man, the hotel. That's right. Episode, what is that, 9 we did? The Come and Take It, the Gonzalez story. Yes, it's done. We still have it. We realized very quickly it's really hard to run a small boutique hotel when you're traveling around the nation or, 200 days out of the year. So anyway, we still have it. We have a great friend down there that runs it for us, and it's for sale. If anybody wants to own a boutique hotel in Gonzales, Texas, where the Texas Revolution began, I know where one is.
Nice. And if someone wants to know what you're talking about, they can sign up for the Crash Course and watch episode 9.
There you go.
Learn all about it. So awesome. Well, thank you, you guys. Thank you for watching. Thank you for joining us for this session. It's always so much fun seeing your comments and questions on the other end there. And Abby, thank you for joining me as well.
Thanks
again
for
tonight,
having me.
My dear, dear friends. We love you guys. And we will be back next week with another very exciting session of the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. So we'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
God bless you guys. Thanks.